So good to be with you here this morning. So we get into our message this morning. Before I start, I wanted to thank Pastor Tom for last Sunday's message on the nature of prayer. I listened to it. It was very encouraging. And if you haven't, go ahead and check that out on the website. So I'd ask you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 7 with me. Let's go ahead and turn God's Word open to Romans chapter 7. We'll be looking at verses 14 through 25 for part one of a message I've entitled, A Believer's Battle with Sin. Yes, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how we battle sin in our life. The Apostle Paul here gives a great testimony of his own life, writing God's Word on how that worked in his life. It'd be important for you to grab the outline. It's always through it all, and so it helps you really follow along. And so open to Romans 7 and grab your outline. At this point, we are working our way through chapter 6 through 8. That's what we're doing, where the Apostle Paul is teaching us about the transformed life that we have in Christ, this incredible new life that we have. He's telling us about the practical effects of the new life we have on those that are saved and how it all works out. He's teaching us the depth of the doctrine of sanctification is on display. It's for us to see and for us to understand and for us to live, which clears up for us the new way of life that we have for us, what God is doing in our lives. Let me cover in a general way what we have seen so far. It will help us set the context for verses 14 through 25. And I'm going to do it in a general way. We're just going to bounce our way there. Just stay with me. From chapter 6, we learned about our new life in Christ. The Apostle Paul talked all about it, that in salvation we died to sin. We died to its mastery of our life. We died to its slavery of our life. Before salvation, that's all we served was sin and sin alone. Now that power's been broken in our life. We have the ability to follow God and battle sin, which is what we're going to talk about today. We are alive to God, he says. Incredible that we are now servants or slaves of righteousness. By the divine power of God, he changed our lives. What we're doing is living rightly, seeking to live rightly. That now dominates our life. We now, as he would say in chapter 6, verse 12 through 13, we present our lives to that. And I want you to catch the words here, verse 12 and 13. At chapter 6, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Catch that word there, so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, it's important for us to a distinction here to understand when he's talking about the members of our body, your members, later we're going to see flesh. He's talking about this humanity that you have, this thing, this flesh. This is unredeemed. It's not going to heaven. It's not going there. It's going to stay here. It's unredeemed. We are incarcerated in this members, our arms, limbs, these kind of things. It has a way it used to think. It has a used the way it understood. It was a slave to sin. This physical humanity that we have, that's what he's talking about. And in our new life in Christ, what we just read, he said, we present this thing to not let sin reign in it. We present it to God to live righteously. That's our responsibility. God isn't going to do that. He's going to help you, guide you, lead you, empower you. But you, in your relationship with God, you present your physical life now, this humanity that's you present it to be what God wants it to be. Chapter 7, verse 1 through 6, he taught us that we now have a new relationship to God's holy law. We're dead to its condemnation of not living it perfectly. Nobody did. We're dead to the tyranny of being accepted by God on how well we keep it. That bond has been broken, it's been released, and he said we've been joined to another, to Jesus Christ, and have been set free now to seek the Lord's washing and cleansing of our way through his word, never condemned for when we fall short. We just all need to grow. And the word of God doesn't condemn us now, it guides us in the areas where we need to go, like I shared in the prayer today. Then in verses 7 through 13, the Apostle Paul began to give a personal testimony of his relationship to God's word, God's law. And it's very practical, it's very personal, it's very experiential. It's not theological, what he's writing. It is the word of God, it is the truth of God's word. It has depth, a deep theological meaning, but it's just really just a practical, personal testimony of the Apostle Paul. And he does that all the way to the end of chapter 7. He makes it all, it's me, it's I, it's all that kind of thing that he starts talking about. In 7 through 13, the verbs are all past tense. You need to mark that down somewhere. I got it in your notes. They're past tense. They're pre-salvation. Paul is reflecting back to when God's law pierced his heart with the truth. When it pierced him, it showed him. He says, the law of God, when the Holy Spirit pierced my heart with the truth of God's word, it revealed sin in me. I didn't see it before. I was unsaved. I didn't know the Lord. It aroused sin. It magnified it in me. It made it clear that sin was everywhere in my life. It ruined me, he said. It showed me that I was just self-righteous and then reflected the sinfulness of sin that it just deceives and destroys. So the Apostle Paul in the past saw the truth of God's holy standard, saw that he fell short. He saw that sin deceived him and he was headed to eternal damnation, to eternal separation from God. It said it killed him. That's what that means. So by the work of the Holy Spirit, conviction of sin comes, repentance and faith in seeking the salvation of the Lord happens, and that's what happens to Paul. Look at verse 12, chapter 7. That's why he says, so then the law is holy and the commandment is holy and is righteous and good because it revealed sin in me and it revealed that I was self-righteous and it showed me the sinfulness of sin, and nobody's going to make it in heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ because sin completely separates us from God. And it's all in past tense verses, imperfect, aorist verses, or verbs. So he's looking back. It's important for us to recognize this because God wants us to understand 14 through 25. And a lot of things get said about that, but you can't mess with grammar. You can't mess with Greek. The way those verbs are really nail down for us. What is he talking about now? So Paul says sin is the problem, not God's holy word, not his standard. It's his testimony in the past. Now, verses 14 through 25, Paul's personal testimony continues. What we're going to look at today, part one. But all the verbs change. Every verb in it changes to present, active, indicative. That means, here's my personal testimony right now as I'm writing the book of Romans. That's the only way you can write it in a present, active, indicative. That's the only way you can use that Greek verb. It can't be something in the past. It can't be something in the future. It's a present, you had present, active, and indicative. You guys are all at church listening to me. I can't write it in past tense. I can't write it in future tense. It's right now. That's how these are written. So that's what God is talking about here. Paul's personal testimony right now. He says, here is my present battle with sin. I give you the past pre-salvation, how God revealed sin to me and pierced my heart with it, but here's my present battle with sin as a mature believer in relationship to God's holy standard. Here it is. This should be such an encouragement to each and every one. Each one of us here should be just encourage the heck out of me, Lord. Because here is the Apostle Paul living out his walk with Christ as God's work of sanctification is taking place in him, and he writes it out in Romans. Thank you, Lord, because it's taking place in every Christian. It's taking place in every believer. And then here you have the Apostle Paul, which sometimes we can put up like somehow he just was above every other human. God called him to something, but he's just like me and you, and God had to sanctify him all the way till he met the Lord. He was never completely sanctified until he met the Lord. And right here, he shows us the reality of how the Apostle Paul battled sin and how he fell short. It's the same for us here. Here is how he handled sin, how he handled the flesh, how he handled God's word in a relationship to all of that. This sanctification work is a battle with sin. This sanctification work that God is doing in our life is a battle with your flesh. And what God did and does about it is all over the New Testament. It's not only here. It's all over the New Testament. I gave you some verses there, right there at the bottom. I gave you a few of them that where God's word just talks about how this is happening and how God is bringing it about and how it's going on in life. Romans 6:6 says that in your salvation, your old self was crucified with Christ in order that the body of sin, flesh, might be done away with. So we would be no longer slaves to sin. Colossians 2:11 said, God, by the power of God, by the hand of God, not with human hands, circumcised, cut us out, separated us, our being out of our flesh, in a sense, or away from our flesh. We are no longer who we used to be. We are who we are now. It's the new self, new man, all those kind of things. We need to know what we're talking about here. We need to know it, have it in our heart. It should be clear. 1 Peter 2:11 says, I urge you to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war with your soul. I want you to get this sin that dwells in your flesh, this humanity that's unredeemed, that wants to live its own way, the direction that your flesh wants to go is waging war with your new life in Christ. And God is telling us that we have to deal with that. Your flesh wants sin and sin alone, enjoys sin, is happy with sin, is good with sin, and God isn't going to redeem it. He's not going to change it. He's going to leave it here. And you're going to go be with him. Life here is about living by the Spirit of God with this new life that he has given us, following God like we looked in Galatians. Seeking to live this, and we have to do something with this sin that dwells in our flesh. There's no way you could ever preach a message that the Word of God came, that Christ came to bless our flesh, to satisfy or gratify our flesh. It's not in the Word of God. Ephesians 4:22 through 24, and I'm paraphrasing, says, "You are to lay aside the old self, fleshly desires of the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and you're to put on or wear the new self, the new life that you have in Christ. Renewing the way you think, renewing the way you understand, renewing the way you see and live what God says it's about." And we looked at Galatians 5:13 through 26. This is the believer's battle with sin. It's a battle with your old self. It's a battle with the flesh. And you're only one you. You only have one nature. It's one person. Your new self is who you are. But you're incarcerated in this unredeemed flesh that just wants to sin. And that's the reality of everyone saved. So we're going to dig into this. And the real battle in the life of God's people is how sanctification takes place. So turn your outline over. I wrote on here, here's the four battle cries. The four battle cries here in our text are four battle cries the Apostle Paul gives, personal testimony, teaching us the truth of the believer's battle with sin. It's a battle with your flesh. Now let's just read the whole text. Look at what he says. Verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage of sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one who is doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin dwells which dwells in me." It's a battle. Look at how him go back and forth. We're going to get understanding of all of this. Verse 21, "I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, that's flesh, waging war against the law of my mind," 1 Peter 2:11, "and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am. Who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin." Incredible passage to talk to us about the life that we live. Incredible teaching on to show us on how we're to, what's going on in our life and what we're going to battle here. You're going to battle sin and the flesh with your new life in Christ, and he goes back and forth on how that's going on. Now, each battle cry, it's in your outline there, except the last one, Paul presents the condition of the battle cry, the confirmation or proof of its reality, and then the core or the source of the problem, and we're going to look at it that way. We'll just look at one today. We're just going to work through one. We're going to look at the first one, the first battle cry. We're going to grab hold of what God's wanting to teach us here about this life that we're living, and what he's at work in the sanctification process working on, and what our part is that we do to embrace this. Like I said, we'll just look at one. Listen to the first battle cry found in verses 14 through 17. Hear it again. Here's what he says. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into bondage of sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. So that's the battle cry. That's what we're going to look at. Now remember, he's right. This is present active indicatives. This is what when he's writing Romans and he's given a testimony about it, what his life is like right now. This is going on in me right now. You know, I know what God wants me to do, but then sometimes I don't do it. You ever do that? Anybody ever just, you know, cross your path, cut you off in the road, and you just know that God doesn't want you to try to run them over? But then you just like, oh. Anybody got a testimony with me? Anybody lose their temper, words come out, you get angry, you have a bad attitude, you know, these kind of things. You know the word of God. You know that God doesn't want you to do these things. You know that you want to do the things that God wants you to do. But then just something comes along, gives you a little squeeze, that kind of thing. And it's just hard. And then it's like, right? Right? Give me an amen on that one, right? Husbands, your wife sees it every day. Amen? You know, they're hungry. I can't act nice. I can't, right? You see it in your children, don't you? It's the flesh. Sin dwells in the flesh. We've been given new life in Christ. We're following the Lord, and we can by that, but there's this humanity, this unredeemed flesh that we have that all it wants to do is sin, and this is Paul talking about his life. Now, verse 14 is the condition of the cry. Look at it with me, verse 14. For we know the law is spiritual. That's not hard to understand. Don't you know the law is spiritual? We know the law is spiritual. God's word is spiritual, isn't it? We know right now the word of God speaks to our spiritual lives. Do you guys know that? Come on, help me, right? It tells us the way to live. Doesn't God's word tell us? Doesn't it give us hope? Doesn't it just speak to our heart and soul and mind in the midst of this crazy lost world? Doesn't the word of God just be an anchor to our soul and give us all the hope that God has and the promises and the truth? Shows us our heart, shows us our sin. Shows, wow, I don't want that anymore. Isn't it spiritual? It's just meeting your spiritual needs, God's word. Amen? That's not in question, is it? We know the word of God is spiritual. That's what he's saying. Tells us the truth about ourselves and what God's plan is for us. It guides us in the way of sanctification. It tells us how to love God and love others. It leads us to do so. Hebrews 4:12 says it this way, and I'm paraphrasing, and I do that a few times through here. For the word of God is living and active, piercing our heart and soul, separating right from wrong, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of my heart. God's word, that's spiritual. Sometimes I don't even know the intentions of my heart. But God can show me, hey, your intention's there. Your thought's there. We're going to work on that one, Ken. God, the Holy Spirit, uses God's word to lead us, to help us, to guide us, to encourage us, to show us God. And we know the law is spiritual right now. That's part of the condition. Second part, look at the verse. But I am of flesh sold into bondage of sin. That's the condition right now. Well, what are you meaning? Right now, Paul, this is you, absolutely you, right in the midst. You know that the word of God is this, but I am a flesh sold into bondage of sin, yes, right now. So we have to understand what he's saying there, because I've been freed from slavery, sin slavery. We just learned in chapter 6, right? I'm no longer a slave of sin. I'm a slave of righteousness. What's he talking about? Look at chapter 7, verse 4 and 5. Look what it says. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that you may bear fruit for God. That's our new life in Christ. He's our husband. We're his bride. We covered all of that. We're joined to him. Look at verse 5. For while we were in the flesh. Circle that in your Bible. When you're in the flesh, you're lost. You're dead to God. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life leads your life. Nothing else can. God can't. God won't. You're being led by your flesh when you're in the flesh. In the Word of God, when it says that, when you're in the flesh, that's what's going on. But Paul said, I am of flesh. He's saying, I'm still human, and I still have my flesh. And even though God has given me a new life, and even though I have this new spirit within me and I can understand God's word and I have a new life that I can follow what God has for me, I am still of flesh. I still dwell in this human incarcerated vessel that God has me in, and my flesh doesn't want to do anything that God wants it to do. My new life, yes. That's what he's talking about. The lost are in the flesh. That's all the lost are in the flesh. The lost live in the lust of the flesh, indulge in the desires of the flesh. By nature are children of wrath. That's not my nature anymore. But he changed me, not my flesh. He didn't rescue, redeem my flesh. It's going to stay here. He's going to give me a new body there that isn't going to be like this one. Very important distinction. The Apostle Paul has a new life of Romans 6, new relationship with God's word, but he's still incarcerated in his unredeemed body, his body, his members of his body. That's why I read all of those. And the desire it has and thinks and believes is still with him. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, paraphrasing again, you are still very fleshly. You're letting your flesh lead your life, following the desires of the flesh. You're not very mature. I could just give you milk to drink because you're still fleshly. Christians can be fleshly. They can still let this flesh, self-gratification, sin, self-focus. That's all your flesh is focused on. And you can let it guide your life, and you can be very fleshly until you mature, until God sanctifies you, until that work is going on in your life. The hard thing about it, as I studied all this, is that as much as I grow in the Lord, I'm still fleshly, and God has a lot of work to do. But this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Look at chapter 7, verse 13. He wrote this, therefore did that which is good become a cause of death for me? No, God's word is not a cause of death. May it never be. Rather, it was sin. See, sin's the problem. And Paul says in verse 14, because sin's the problem. We know what sin is the problem and the sinfulness of sin. We need to see it. And we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh. I live in this flesh. And this flesh will never get out of its bondage to want to sin and self-gratification. That's what I dwell in. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 18. He says it again. Look what he says. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. Nothing good dwells in my flesh. But in my new life in Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells. In my new life in Christ, righteousness is my slavery. God has given us a new life, but he's left us in this body for us to make a choice on what direction we're going to go. And that demonstrates who you and what you love. God made this. He created us. He wanted us to love him, to choose to love him. He gave you a new life, left you in the flesh. He said, all right, go ahead, choose. You love yourself or you love me? Your flesh only loves itself. Your flesh never loves God. In fact, God doesn't even speak to your flesh. We're going to get to that. That's what he's wanting us to see. This is the Apostle Paul. This is you and me. This is our life. This is how we live. This is going on every day. God wants us to identify where we're walking by the flesh. What do you read in Galatians? But I say, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. That's you and me in our new self, in our new life, and mature believers. We have to submit to God and surrender our flesh. Maybe we would see it that way. Look at verse 23. Look what he says in verse 23, chapter 7. But I see a different law in the members of my body. Now, you guys know what he's talking about there, right? Flesh. This physical thing. This thing here not going to be with the Lord. This flesh that we are incarcerated in. This humanity that he didn't redeem. Waging war against the law of my mind. Law of my mind, that's a good thing there. You know what that is? That's the law of my new mind, my new heart, my new life. The newness that God has given me. That's just not my thinking there. That word there means my new being. I see that this, read it again, but I see this different law in my flesh, my body, members of my, waging war against my new life, the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Verse 24. Wretched man that I am. Who will set me free from this body of death or of this death? He's describing for us the flesh and the battle with it and the battle with sin and for us to live. And he says this incredible statement here, the body of this death. The Apostle Paul got that, what he's seeing in his mind, and I want you to see what he's seeing in his mind. He was in the city of Tarsus,
And what he is seeing is when someone was caught for murder, they had killed someone and they caught him for murder, what they would do as punishment for the crime, they would take the dead body, the person that they had killed, and they would strap it to the criminal, back to back, leg to leg. And then they set him out of the city. And it'd take a week or two, but that person that they had killed, that dead thing, would pus and all that kind of stuff and would infiltrate that life. And it would just start eating it away, eventually to kill its victim. That's the body of death he's talking about. That's what he wants you to see as your flesh. That's what he wants you to visualize, that this flesh that we have, that's what it's trying to do. It's strapped to you, and it's trying to infect your new life in Christ. That's what it's trying to do. Who's going to rescue me from this? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is. He's the one that's going to guide me, lead me. One day he's going to cut that flesh off. So I got an illustration for you today. I'm going to ask my wife to help me, because I want to show you how I made me a illustration of my flesh. And this is the visual.
Do you want it strapped?
Yes, I do. There it is. This is the visual. This is you and me with our flesh. It's strapped to us. It's a dead body. It's trying to infect our lives. That's what it's trying to do. It doesn't want to follow God. It doesn't like God. It doesn't even hear from God. You love God. You love God's word. You want a desire to do that. This thing here that you're strapped to, that's your flesh, it's the body of death. It's just trying to infect your new life. It's just trying to deceive you with sin. It's trying to deceive you with self-gratification. It's trying to take you. Look at it. That's what it looks like. That's what it is. And this is the Apostle Paul teaching this. This is so important for us to kind of grab, to understand the battle in this life. God didn't come to gratify this. He came to rescue you out of this. He's going to leave it here. The Word of God never says anything about gratifying this thing. It never says nothing. I don't care what anybody tells you or says or whatever. Christ didn't come and die on the cross and give his life so this thing's gratified. That's pathetic. It's so you have this thing, this new life, resurrected life, life of God, life of Christ, to be able to love God, to choose to love God and follow him. That's why he came. How unholy to try to preach that he came so this thing that's going to die and not go anywhere gets gratified. But how many of us in our mind and heart want to read God's word and seek to gratify that thing? Amen? That's what the battle is. Now, God's not upset that we get to have good things and get to go to Yosemite and get to have all the things. He's not taking any of that away, but that's the blessings of this life, not this one, right? So that's the condition he's talking about. The dead corpse would rot. This is the condition, Darth Vader. Listen, the condition is that we know that God's word speaks truth to this inner man, that it speaks spiritual truth to the new man, my new life, to lead me in righteousness, to sanctify my life, to sanctify this living. This flesh that I'm strapped to doesn't listen. It just wants self-gratification. That's the condition that Paul is saying. Now, look at the confirmation or proof of its reality. Look at verse 15. Can you guys handle me wearing this the whole time? I got to check out with the boys after the service today and see what they think about my flesh strapped to me. Here's the confirmation or proof of its reality, verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. I'm doing things that my inner man, my new life in Christ, doesn't approve of anymore. I see God's way in his word. I see the life that God has for me in his word and the truth and the hope. And I see all that. And at times, I don't measure up for how God wants me to live. My new life hates sin. Put this down. Your new life hates sin, period. My new me doesn't like sin at all. My new life in Christ doesn't like sin, doesn't enjoy sin, doesn't want to sin. This thing does. This dead self. Your new life in Christ hates sin. You don't have to grow in hating sin. You have to grow in denying So, because your new life hates sin, loves righteousness, loves God's word, hears from God, loves others, and loves the lost, and can love their enemy, your new life. The sanctification part taking place is for you to live more of this and less of this. That's what God is at work at. And that's the confirmation, the proof of its reality. It's going on. I desire to love God, to honor God in his word. That's what I like to do in my new self, in my new life in Christ, what I want to do. But I don't always do that. My flesh, your unredeemed humanity just wants self-gratification, period. So there's the battle. Your new life in Christ wants to live righteously, period, and your flesh wants to live self-gratification, period. Every time I sin, every time I enjoy sin, I walk by this dead thing, period. That's what we're choosing to do. This is the Apostle Paul teaching us this. Galatians 5:17, look at your front of your bulletin. This is our reality. For the flesh, look at the flesh, here it is, sets its desires against the Spirit. Spirit of God dwells in my new life in Christ, dwells in me, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition. One wants to go this way, one wants to go that way to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Get this, the Spirit of God in my life and my new life in Christ wants to go this way, so I won't do the things that this thing pleases. And this thing wants to go that thing, that way, so my new life in Christ won't do the things that it pleases. That's the challenge. That's Christian life. That's what's going on. He came down to rescue us, to redeem us, to give us new life. This is the Apostle Paul as he writes Romans. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says this, indeed there is not a righteous man on earth, meaning that has the righteousness of Christ imputed to him, who continually does good and who never sins. Paul sinned, and he battled with sin, and he had to be sanctified, and it was a process going on in his life, and it's in mine, and it's in yours, and it's in everybody that is a believer in Christ. Sanctification is taking place. The believer's battle with sin, and the battle is with the flesh. It's about Christ and Christ-like living. And the Word of God, when we get to Romans 8, says God predestined this will for us. Let me just show you a few places on this. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. So you can see that it's all over Scripture. When you start looking and seeing what they're asking the Lord for, Psalm 119, we'll look at the first verse 4 through 6. We'll begin there, and we'll just kind of bounce through here. Now, I'll just give you a few. I'll give you a few here, but we all know, we're studying it in Sunday school, Psalm 119. This guy loves God's word, loves God's law, wants to do God's law, hides his precepts in his heart, does all of these things that's just an example to us. And we see, and he's seeking the Lord in the midst of persecution, all kinds of things. We would say the psalmist of Psalm 119 has a strong faith, wouldn't we? We'd say, wow, he's dedicated to the word of God. Look at verse 4. You have ordained your precepts, God. That's what we say. And you ordained them. These are yours, that we should walk in them or keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established. You know what that just said? I'm not walking in them. You've ordained the way you want for me, God. You ordained the precepts. They're great. They're wonderful. They're the way you're going to go, Lord. Establish my way. Establish it in you. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon your commandments. See, I'm ashamed because I'll look upon them and I don't follow them. Look at verse 30. I think it's verse 30. Get my outline out here. Verse 32. Look at verse 32 with me. Look what he says here. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge in my heart. You know what that's saying? I'm going to run the way God wants me to run. I'm going to fall down a trip, but God is going to enlarge in me. He's going to sanctify me. He's going to grow me to do them more. That's what he's talking about, to enlarge in your heart. Look at verse 40. Look what he says here. He says this, behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. I long, my new self longs to do the word of God, longs to love God, longs to follow the Lord. But revive me. I'm battling my flesh. Revive me. Breathe breath into me so I can do so. Psalm verse 104. Look at what verse 104 says. From your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. That's an incredible thing. From your word, I get understanding of the life that you desire for me to live. Therefore, I hate every false way that's in my flesh that I choose to live, that I'm not battling. That's what his testimony is. And we could go on and on through these kind of things. And like Paul said in verse 15, back to Romans, here's the confirmation or the proof of the reality of the battle of sin. I'm not practicing what I would like to do. I sometimes walk by the flesh. That's the confirmation of its reality. Let me ask you, is it the confirmation of the reality in you that this is the battle? I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. This is what our Christian life is. This is the Apostle Paul and saying, we're in the doctrine, we're teaching the depth of sanctification. Look at verse 16 and 17. Here's the core of the problem. Here's the core, you guys. Verse 16, but if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law confessing that the law is good. Me too. I totally agree with that passage. I totally get to the core of the problem. That's the life of the believer. In my new life, I long to do what's righteous. I long to do what's right. That's what it desires to do. My new life in Christ doesn't want to sin, wants to love God in every shape, form, or manner, desires to hear from God, learn his word, live righteously, reflect Christ. My new life, that's what it desires. And when I don't, I'm convicted, and I confess it as sin. I ask the Lord to forgive me, to change me, to correct me. 1 John 1:9, right? And he grows me, and I agree that God's holy standard for my life is good, the genuine way in life. And when I confess, and when you confess, and when you repent, and when you turn, you agree that it's sin, that it's lust of the flesh, and you agree with the law of God. You totally confess that you agree with the law of God. If you confess your sins, if you repent, if you turn from sin, the law of God is perfect and righteous and holy. This is God's way for me. I recognize that I don't. And I totally agree by when I confess my sins, that that's the way God wants me to go. I recognize this flesh that wants to sin, that it's me. You can't excuse this. You're one nature, one person. This is you. You're just incarcerated in it. I got it strapped to my back so you see the picture that the Apostle Paul put. But it's you. You're the one responsible for sinning. And we agree with God. Look at verse 17. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Okay, what's he saying there? Listen, the new you, the redeemed you, the born again you, with the new life in union with Christ, no longer approves of sin that dwells in your flesh. So you could say, like the Apostle Paul, it's not really my new self doing this. It's my flesh doing this, and I'm letting it lead my life. Because in my new life, do you know in your new life in Christ, you can live sinless? You're going to battle that flesh, and none of us ever make it there till we go see the Lord. But that's going on in each person's life. And that's what he's saying. So the me, the real me, the new me, with the new nature, with the new life, it's the sin that dwells in this leading my life, and I don't want it to lead my life. The saved you is not your flesh. It's just a vessel and it's only desire to sin. Sweet Adele, she went to home with the Lord this last Monday. She has no desire to sin anymore. It's gone. Because her flesh is gone. I'm fit for heaven right now. Transformations take place. Just separation needs to take place. It's all done. I'm fit for heaven. When I'm separated from this, I go to be with the Lord, and I will walk sinless. Because I won't battle this flesh anymore. Listen, like I said, it's one person, one nature, that dead self just trying to corrupt you. And God calls it, I crucified your flesh, I've given you new life. You understand what we're talking about here. You're seeing the picture, but you are responsible for sinning. Because the core of the problem is sin. You're responsible to choose what you follow. Ephesians 4:22 through 24, again, paraphrasing, lay aside the old self, lay aside the flesh, wear who you are in Christ, let God renew your mind, your way, your understanding, your word, and the purpose of life. That's your new life, what it desires, and the battle with sin, that your flesh desires only to sin. Did you know, according to John 8, that the Spirit of God, God's Word, speaks to your new man? That God speaks to you? Your new life in Christ, to the born-again you? God says nothing to this. Doesn't say a word to your flesh. Do you know, according to John 8, that the enemy of God, the father of lies, speaks only to this and doesn't say anything to your new self? So when you hear the enemy of God, when you hear he's speaking to your flesh, hey, you shouldn't let him do that, right? Now you hear it in the sense because it's you. But God isn't telling your flesh to stop. He's telling you to follow. And the enemy of God is telling your flesh, don't follow. And isn't telling your new self anything. Does that make sense? Yeah, that totally makes sense. That's what's going on. And that's what it is. That's what's happening. And I want to close with this. We're going to close with this. Because I got as many weeks, I wanted to get through this, but I think this is impacting our heart and mind to see the truth of what's going on. But turn your Bibles to Mark 8, verse 34, and we'll close with this. I didn't mean to be presumptuous. I might not have next week. But I'm anticipating the Lord might let me have next week. Mark 8, I want you to look at this. Starting at verse 34, we're going to just look at two verses. Mark 8, 34, here's the words of Jesus. And I want you to capture what he's saying here. And so this is so important for us to recognize what Christ is saying here and how he's calling us to himself. He says this, and he summoned the crowd with his disciples. So he's got his disciples there, you know, those guys that are following him, he's teaching, and then the crowd's there. And he says this. Listen to what he says. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now you tell me, what part is he going to deny? What part? What's he talking about? He's saying, if anybody's going to come after me, you're going to have to deny your flesh, right? I'm not going to deny my new life in Christ. I'm not going to deny its desires, its wants, its loves, its hopes. I'm not going to deny any of those, right? Jesus didn't, he gave us new life to guide our lives. This new life in Christ, this new man that I am, wants to follow God every single way of my life. What do I got to deny? What do you got to deny? Darth Vader, right? Isn't that true? Isn't that a battle? That's a war, isn't it? Because you don't even identify when it is that. But then when you do, you kind of try to get God's word to say, well, he kind of came to make this thing kind of happy. No, he didn't. Absolutely not. He came to give you this life. He'll give you a new body one day where all of that is right. Am I right, church? That's what Jesus said. And listen to how this works. So anybody want to come after me has to deny their self. They got to deny their flesh and its self-gratification, its sin and all that at once. Look what it says next. Take up his cross. What's the cross? What is your sinful bent? What is yours? What is yours? Are you angry? Are you mad? Do you have substance abuse? Is pornography your issue? What is your issue as a human being? Put it on the cross. That's what he's saying. Whatever you think this world has to turn out to be like, whatever you have to have, whatever is good, whatever is what I want, whatever that is, whatever your flesh is, it's all different for all of us. You got to put it on the cross. You got to deny it, and then you got to say, Lord, slay it. Because he's the one with the power to slay it. He's the one that guide your life that won't let it live. Right? To follow Christ. Look at verse 35. Look what he says in verse 35. This is what Jesus is talking about. Right here, what Paul is giving a testimony on. Verse 35. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. What life are we to lose? This one. Anyone that will lose their selfishness, self-gratification, self-desire, self-focus, that this world is about you and you and you, anyone that will lose that will gain all of his. The one I got, the one you got. Anyone that won't lose this gets none of his. None. That's what Christ is saying. Who would forfeit their soul for this thing to be as happy as it could be for however long you live here? That's what he said. Now, us as believers in Christ, I can't forfeit this by following this. He rescued this. He gave me this new life. It's mine. He can't take it away. He doesn't. It's not predicated on how well I do. But he's each and every day, Christ is saying, you really want that life? You came repenting. You came surrendering. You came believing. You came turning. Remember what he told the Galatians? By the Spirit of God, it was this we're going in life. Now you're going to be sanctified by this thing? Heavens, no. So the Apostle Paul, he's sharing his testimony with us. He's giving us this encouraging message to really lay down for us what this looks like in our life. You know what? Forgive me, Lord, for I walk by the flesh a lot. I don't want to. It seems like it just acts on its own at times. It has its own way it wants. It has its own desire. It's a battle. It's a fight. It is what it is. But I love God, and I'm going to be in the battle for his glory and my good. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your encouragement to us this morning through the Apostle Paul's testimony of the life that he lived and the challenges that he faced and to love you and to walk with you, all the things that he went through. Here it is, a very practical way in your word of this dynamic of, wow, sometimes I don't do what I really want to do. And I recognize that there's this law in my flesh and the members of my body that just, oh, thank you for the rescue from that. That's only what I was before Christ. That's all I ever was before Christ. That self-gratifying, self-focused, fleshly, lost person. You rescued us from that. And then in our relationship with you and our dependent upon you and your word and your truth and your spirit, Lord, you, in a sense, in sanctification, rescue us each day from following it to following you. What a glorious day it will be when we are with you, and that's not going on anymore. But a wonderful day it is today, because by the power of God, with the new life that I have in Christ, I can follow God. And I cannot sin. We cannot sin. And you are truly pleased. And you're truly grateful for the love that we have for you that's been shed abroad in our heart by you. So we are blessed today, Lord. And we do ask, Lord, that you would comfort those that need comfort, that you would guide those that need guided. And if anyone here, Lord, saw the gospel of why Jesus came, and they recognize that your word is speaking to them and revealing that they're a sinner and that their sin is everywhere, and that the only way to be forgiven and brought back to you, reconciled to you, is through the faith in Jesus. If that's someone today, Lord, we pray and ask that we would be available to talk to them, and that the fruit that would come from that would be a glorious testimony. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.